And we have so much to give thanks for and so many things to praise the Lord for. Well, having to do live stream makes you more thankful for certain things, I noticed. And it's always the case when something's taken away from you, you always realize all that you have. And I was thinking about that. I sure miss the fellowship, being together with God's people. And it's just not the same watching it over the live stream as it is being here in God's house and fellowshipping with God's people. Sure do miss that. And it made me much more thankful for the live stream and the blessing that that is. But it also this morning, I realized I became extra thankful for the nurseries during the church service. It was quite interesting trying to watch the service this morning with three little ones, and I'm hoping my wife is surviving right now with three little ones. But I appreciate the nurseries, that is for sure. Well, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 in the Word of God. And I encourage you to grab your Bible and open that up. And the most important thing that I'm going to say tonight is what I read from the Bible. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to take a look at that. Matthew chapter 8. And I'm going to read verses 23 through verse 27. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. The Bible says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Amen. The title of the message here tonight is Faith or Fear? Faith or Fear? There are two responses we can have in life to every situation. In every situation, we will respond one of two ways. We will either respond in fear and doubt, or we will respond in faith. You know, fear is a very real aspect of life. It has a very controlling nature to it. Fear, I saw this recently, fear equals control. You know, when we're fearful, we're controlled by that. It controls us. I wonder, have you ever had a time where fear controlled what you did? Have you ever been in those situations where fear controlled you? I remember when I was younger, there was a couple times I thought it would be fun to climb the silo down at Pastor's farm. And those silos are pretty tall. And usually there was a couple of us that would do it. But I just remember the first time I tried to climb that silo. And I remember getting about three quarters of the way up or so. And I remember looking up and realizing, wow, just from my perspective, it looked like I had a long ways to go still. And then you look down and it looks so far down. And I remember just being gripped with fear there as I stopped and was hanging onto the handles. And then your mind starts imagining things, you know, like all the handles that you're hanging onto are going to loosen up and come out of the silo or something. Your mind just kind of starts thinking weird things. But I just remember being gripped with that fear, and I had to go back down. I couldn't go up all the way because the fear was over controlling me and overwhelming me. Life is filled with occasions to be fearful. You know, certainly as a nation, as a world, we are currently in a situation where it would be easy to be fearful. In fact, many people are. You talk to people all around and they're fearful. And you know that because everything that people are talking about is the challenges that we're facing with this virus. You know, people are fearful of investments. I know people have lost so much. And that's why the Bible says not to trust in uncertain riches. People are fearful of employment. The uncertainties that just are prevalent right now about so many different things. People are fearful about the health risks that are around right now. People are fearful if they have enough toilet paper right now. A very real thing. Fear comes when we find ourselves in a vulnerable, threatening situation and we don't know how things are going to go or how they're going to affect us. In this passage, the disciples found themselves in a vulnerable situation and they became fearful. Notice, first of all, this evening, the reason for fear. The reason for fear. And look with me at our text in verse 24. The reason for fear was a great tempest. It says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea." There was a very legitimate reason to be fearful. A great tempest. It says there, "There arose a great tempest." It didn't just happen all at once. And sometimes it's more difficult when things are building and escalating. This storm began to build. It says it arose. The clouds started rolling in. The sky began to darken. The water started churning. And this storm was coming up. And it became a great tempest. Now, it wasn't just a tempest. It says it was a great tempest. And when the Bible uses that terminology, if we could imagine it, if a tempest is this big, a great tempest is this big. It's much greater. It's significant. The Bible often uses this kind of wording of like great tempest. In Matthew 2:10, it says there was exceeding great joy. In another passage, we see they were astonished with a great astonishment. In other words, he's emphasizing the point. There was a great tempest. Maybe it was a tempest that they had never experienced, like one they'd never experienced before. It was a great tempest. And this was a great reason for fear. It was a legitimate thing. A great tempest that had come up. But it wasn't only this tempest that was there. As they were in the middle of this tempest, there's another reason for fear. And this is a human response. We see that fear is a human response. It's a natural human response to the difficulties of life. Fear is very real. It's a very natural thing that we experience in life. With no doubt, the disciples, they were experiencing a very real danger. Look down at verse 24 again and notice what it says about this great tempest that they were in. It says, "There arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves." Insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Now, let's be honest, if we were the disciples and in their shoes, I think we would be as fearful as they were because this was a very real difficulty that they were going through. And fear is a natural human response. You know, there are very real challenges that we face. And it is easy to have this human response. Look at verse 25 and we see here more of their response. It says, "And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.'" We perish. This was the disciples' human response to the situation that they were in. They thought they were going to die. They thought they were going to perish. Now, of course, it wasn't to that point. And we're going to look a little bit more at that. But this was the human response that the disciples had. they would come to this point, Lord, save us, we perish. You know, and isn't it true in our lives when difficulties or trials come, we think this is the end. We get to that point where we're on our back, so to speak, and we have that same attitude. We perish, like the disciples here. And just thinking about the day and age that we live in with all the challenges we're facing right now, you know what, I saw a picture last night of someone from a store, and the carts, they took a picture of these carts that were heaping with groceries and all sorts of different things. And I think this person, this lady, thought she was going to perish. She was filled with fear, that she was going to perish. But that's just a natural response. When the difficulties of life come, we think we're going to perish. Sometimes we think this is going to be it. And no doubt, the situation the disciples were in was a difficult situation. And I think they truly thought their lives were in danger. And that's why they cried out, Lord, save us, we perish. So here we see, first of all, the reason for fear, a great tempest. And that's a normal human response, fear. Now compare the setting of the disciples in this storm to the setting of life at times. Have we ever been there? Have you ever been there? In the middle of the tempest, a great tempest, when everything around us is in an upheaval, when the waves are crashing around us, it's very real. Maybe it's been or is an area in our home, in our family, some kind of family situation. Maybe it's a health crisis that we find ourselves in, or financial situations where it's like we're in the middle of the storm. We think we're going to die. We don't see any way out of it. The reasons to fear will arise. They escalate. They build up in our life. And at times, not just a tempest, but a great tempest will surround us. And fear sets in. Fear grabs a hold of us. And we are controlled by that. The challenging situation the disciples found themselves in seemed to be a valid reason for fear until Christ rebuked them. Notice, secondly, the rebuke of fear. We saw the reason for fear, but notice the rebuke of fear. Now, you have to chuckle at this, because look at verse 26. It says, or at the end of verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him. Now, just think about that for a minute. Here the disciples think they're dying, and Jesus is still sleeping in the back of the ship. So I think it's funny. It's just here he rebukes them, but they have to come and wake him up and say, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? So here he rebukes them for their fear. Why are ye fearful? He questions them. Why are ye fearful? And you know what? In the challenges of life, sometimes we need to be rebuked with that question for our fear. Why are ye fearful? You know, everything around us can make us think it's a terrible situation. And maybe there are the challenges, but you know, sometimes we need to step back and think, why are ye fearful? Why are we fearful? And Christ rebukes his disciples for their fear. The rebuke came because of a wrong perspective. The disciples did not need to fear. You know, the truth was they didn't need to fear. And that, in Christ here, is rebuking them for that fear that they had. They had a wrong perspective. The disciples were focused on the circumstances around them. Their fear came because they were looking at the circumstances around them. They had the wrong perspective. They were looking at the tempest, the great tempest around them, the high waves that were crashing on them, maybe the small little ship that was being flooded with water. They were looking at the circumstances. And Christ was rebuking them because they had a wrong perspective. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6. I couldn't help but think of this passage here in 2 Kings chapter 6. Where Elisha's servant was focused on the circumstances that he was in. He had the wrong perspective. And of course, Elisha reveals to him the truth. But look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. The word of God says, "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" So here the servant, all he sees is this army of chariots and horses surrounding the city. He's looking at the circumstances around him. And Elisha, he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Wow. Here the servant was focused on the circumstances around him. Here the disciples are focused on the circumstances. That's what their attention is on. The circumstances around them. So Christ rebuked them for having the wrong perspective because of the wrong focus. But we also see they forgot who was with them. The rebuke came because of a wrong perspective. They forgot who was with them. Wow. Jesus Christ was the one right there with them in the very boat that they were in the same storm, in the same tempest. He was there with them. Does it remind you of in Daniel, the three men in the fiery furnace? Who was the one in the middle of the fire with them? The Lord Jesus Christ. Here, in the middle of the tempest, Christ is there with them. And Christ rebukes them for their fear because they forgot who was with them. They forgot that he was with them. Jesus Christ, he was the one that these disciples had seen just a little bit earlier heal the sick. I don't know exactly in the context here if they had seen him raise somebody from the dead or not, but this was Christ, the Son of God, that was there in their presence. He, the creator of heaven and earth, the omnipotent, all-powerful one, was there with them. And he rebukes them because they forgot who was with them. Why are ye fearful? You know, why should we be fearful? Because he is with us. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If you're a child of God, we have nothing to fear. If we look at the circumstances and the surroundings, it's going to be easy to be fearful. But we can never forget the one that is with us, Jesus Christ. And what a rebuke to the disciples because they forgot that Jesus was with them. Recently, I've been reading the book of Joshua. Right there at the outset of the book, we see that Moses had died. And here, Joshua is called to be the leader. And you can turn over there or just listen as I read in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6. It's here he is taking over the leadership of the nation. And Moses, the leader who Joshua was a servant and was a helper for, had died, and now Joshua was the leader, was being called to be the leader. And Joshua 1 in verse 5, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage." Boy, Joshua had reason to be fearful. He had reason to doubt and to be afraid. But God reminded him that he was there with them, that he would not leave him. So the rebuke of fear. Jesus rebukes them. "Why are ye fearful?" And as Christians tonight, maybe we need to be rebuked and think, why are we fearful? You know, why is it so quick for us to fall into fear and to be afraid? You know, we can't have the wrong perspective tonight. We can't look at the circumstances and the setting that we are in. And we need to be reminded that Christ is with us. You know, is your focus on the circumstances around us? Is it focused on a virus? Is it focused on what the media says? What's going to happen with your job or the circumstances, you know, that might be causing your fear? Are you focused on those? Have you forgotten who is with you? Jesus Christ. So he rebuked them for a wrong perspective, but we also see he rebuked them for a little faith. He says in verse 26, "And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" They had the wrong perspective, but they had little faith. It's interesting, this story is given in each of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40, it says in the same context, "How is it that ye have no faith?" And I think that the point that is being made here is they weren't trusting God. They didn't have faith in this situation. They didn't believe that God was going to take care of them. And that led them to fear. And why they doubted God and why God, Christ, had to rebuke them. They had little or no faith in God. They didn't believe that God would deliver them. They didn't believe that God was going to bring and work this situation together for good. They didn't believe, they didn't have faith that he was in control. Boy, that's what we need to be reminded of. God is in control. Man isn't in control. We've seen that. You know, this little virus comes in and it shuts down our whole country. Man's not in control. God is in control. Now, the disciples knew who to come to. And that's a positive thing here. They knew who to come to. And that was good. But, you know, they were doubting. They doubted that God was in control of their situation. And that was the problem. He said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Their faith was little. Their faith was non-existent. They were so controlled by fear and the circumstances, they couldn't trust God. We need to come to God during our trials. That's a given. But the fear is the problem. We don't need to be consumed and controlled by fear in our lives. We ought not to let it control us and guide how we live, where we're controlled by it. That fear, that questioning, that apprehension, that little faith that we demonstrate in our lives. You know, we shouldn't be like the rest of the world around us that acts as if there's no hope, as if there's everything is out of control. No, our demeanor, our attitude ought to be one of confidence, of faith in God. Do you ever find yourself with little faith, no faith? The situation seems so bad, seems so out of control, it shoves faith out of the way. And that's why Christ had to rebuke his disciples. Because they were fearful. They were consumed. They were overwhelmed by fear. So we've seen the reason for fear. Secondly, the rebuke of fear. Through Christ's stern rebuke, we realize the remedy for fear. The remedy for fear. The remedy for fear was a stunning reminder. Look at verse 26. And we can get focused on the first half, which says, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" But here he gives them a reminder that remedies their fear. "Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Amen. Wow. Just stop and think about that. Here they are in the middle of this storm, a great tempest. And Christ can take that great tempest and turn it into a great calm. And that ought to be the characteristic of our life, a great calm. In the midst of a storm and realizing that Christ, he's in control. And this verse 26 and what Christ did there, he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. This was a reminder to the disciples. The disciples' fear quickly vanished away as Christ calmed the sea. Their fear was quickly remedied when they saw his power, when they saw that he is in control. And the remedy for our fear here tonight, if we've been overcome by fear, or if we are quickly given to fear, is to be reminded of who Christ is and of what and of his power. It was a stunning reminder that Jesus is greater than the storm. He has power over the storm. There is nothing outside of his control. Christ is greater than the storm. Whatever the storm, the tempest of your life that you're facing, or maybe as a nation that we're facing, God is greater than it. He is extremely greater, far greater than it. And in just a simple tone of his voice, he can calm the storm. He is in control. The tumultuous sea outside depicts the disciples' tumultuous fears inside. And the one who calmed the sea can calm our fears as well. Boy, and I think I love the imagery here in this story. That tumultuous sea and the fear and the tumultuous maybe inside of the disciples over this situation. And that's how it is often for us. The storm of the sea often illustrates the storm within us when we are consumed by fear. And we need to be reminded who is greater than the storm. Jesus Christ. So the remedy for fear was a stunning reminder, but we also see the remedy for fear is a confidence in God. A confidence in God. And that's faith. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith," or no faith. The answer for fear, the remedy for fear, is to have faith. Is to have confidence in God. He is able to be trusted. And like I said earlier, he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. There is no reason we can't trust in God. There is no reason we can't rest in him. Familiar passage, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." But that phrase, "trust in the Lord with all thine heart." If our trust is fully in God, there's going to be no room for fear to come in. So the remedy for fear is a confidence in God. It's faith. That's the remedy. Jesus' rebuke was, "Oh, ye of little faith." In other words, they needed to have faith in God. They needed to have great faith in God. We need to exchange our fear for faith tonight. We need to trust in the Lord. Friend, don't be consumed by fear. You know, trust in God. Remember who He is, that He's there with you. And we can fully trust in Him. You know what the greatest fear man has is the fear of death. And you know what? There's a remedy for that. And it's found also in Jesus Christ. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, I love the verse. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. Friend, tonight, if you're here, if you're listening and you don't have that peace, that confidence that God brings, you know, He can calm that greatest fear of death and the fear of eternity. It can be solved, calmed. He can calm that fear through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The remedy for fear is a confidence in God. Maybe tonight you need to put your confidence back in God. Push fear aside and say, you know, I am going to trust in God. Whatever comes in life, whatever storm arises, the storm maybe that we're facing now, let's put our trust in God. The storms that are yet to come in life, let's put our confidence in God. He is able to be trusted. You know, fear comes when we take our eyes off of God. We need to continually keep our eyes on Him. We need to continually trust and confide in Him. So tonight, faith or fear? Are you going to fear God or have faith in God? Or are you going to fear? Are you going to be afraid? Which will be your response to the challenges of life? You know, there may be valid reasons for fear from a human perspective. The disciples, the circumstances they were in seemed like very valid reasons to be fearful. But you know what? Christ rebuked them because they were not trusting in God. And may tonight, as God's people, our trust be put back in God. Christ not say of us, "O ye of little faith, why are ye fearful?" The remedy for fear is the right perspective of God. You know, when there's fear in our soul, it's a revelation of a lack of faith in God. If you're fearful tonight, it's because you're not trusting God. Your trust and confidence is not in Him. You remember, there is nothing too hard for God. God is greater than the storm. He can calm it. He can calm the tempest. Tonight, I trust that you will choose faith. Choose to put your confidence in God. Don't be fearful. That's humanly natural. And we have to fight against that. We need to put our faith and trust in God. If you are a child of God tonight, your Savior is the one who can calm the sea. Tonight, may we be encouraged to put our faith in God, to put our confidence in Him. Not to look at the circumstances or the setting that we're in. Not to look at the storm or the waves, but to look at God. To be reminded of the One that is there with us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this example, this story of the disciples and the lessons that we can learn from them. Lord, tonight, really, there's two choices that we're going to make. Either we're going to fear, we're going to look at the tempest, the storm around us, or we're going to trust God. Oh, Lord, would You help us to choose faith? Lord, I pray for Your people that tonight we would put our faith in You, that we wouldn't succumb to the devil and his plan to want us to fear. And to doubt and to question. Lord, give us faith to trust You tonight. Lord, I pray that important decisions would be made in people's lives, Your people's lives, that they would choose Lord, this could be a very important decision that someone needs to make tonight, to trust God, to not be fearful. And not just in the circumstances we're facing right now, but just in life, the pattern and the habit of life, to be one of confidence and trust and faith in God. Give us great faith, we pray. And right now, as with keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, and I just want to give you a moment to deal with whatever it is that God is working in your heart about. And choose tonight to put your faith in God, not to be fearful. We need to turn from that and put our faith in God. So right now, if God's speaking to your heart, I encourage you to make a decision and apply the truth that we've heard here this evening. Lord, would you help us as your children to demonstrate to the lost world around us that our confidence is in you, that we don't need to be fearful. Our trust is in you and everything is under control. So Lord, help us tonight as your people to keep our eyes on you and not on the storms around us, but on the one that's with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Okay, Pastor John is going to come and lead us in an invitation hymn. And tonight, certainly we are faced with that reality of are we a fearful people? Now, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly you have reason to fear. Because you don't know about the future. You don't know the God who is in control of the future. You don't have the promises of God on your side. And you're responding just as a natural person would respond. I want to encourage you tonight to realize that that fear is a good sign for you to realize that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need him as your Savior. And certainly there's one thing that we ought to fear if we aren't saved. We ought to fear dying, dying without God, in eternity lost. And we'd like to encourage you tonight, if you're not saved, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that if you're a believer and you have just been alarmed by all these things without thinking that God is in control, that you would respond to this message and that you would personally decide that you're going to trust God and believe that he is going, that he's in charge and that you can trust him with your life and that you don't need to despair, but more than ever before, you can decide to serve him, the eternal one, and not to be overcome by the things that are passing away. Okay, Pastor John, come lead us.
All right, we're going to sing the song, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea.
Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rocks and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me.
Third stanza on the third.
When at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar, may I hear thee say to thee,
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this encouragement from your word tonight. And Lord, not just encouragement, but a great challenge, Lord, not to fear, but to put our confidence in you. And Lord, how many times we allow ourselves to go through turmoil, Lord, that wasn't necessary simply because we weren't trusting you. And Lord, we pray tonight that, Lord, each one of us would put our complete confidence and trust in you. And Lord, that that confidence that we have in you, that we would be able to show it and, Lord, display it to others. And Lord, that it would be used as a testimony to draw others to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, who in a moment can change the tempest to a calm. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be your vessels, Lord, in this day and age in which we live, to communicate, Lord, the great peace that we can have when our confidence is in Christ. And we just pray you would strengthen, Lord, your people tonight, encourage them, uplift them. And Lord, we pray that these things would not tear us down, but Lord, we would be built up in the faith, and you might use it, Lord, for the furtherance of the gospel. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.